Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Clay Legionary by J. Clifton Slater. Narrated by P.J. Oakland. Act 1. Prodigy. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines prodigy as a young person who is unusually gifted with special talent. These advanced talents, no matter how extreme, tend to be beneficial for those associated with the prodigy. A prodigy can come from many different fields: musical prodigy, mathematical prodigy, engineering prodigy, literary prodigy, or artistic prodigy. Usually, the talented child poses no threat to strangers who encounter the youth. However, dig a little deeper into the Latin origin of the word, and you'll uncover a threatening dark side. The etymology of prodigy is prodigium. Prodigium means omen or monster. Thus, the gifted can then become the feared. Now imagine the gifted youth as a swordsman prodigy. Chapter 1. Cooperative Village. Alerio Cicera broke from the corner of the schoolhouse and sprinted away with one thought in mind: escape. The path lay across the yard and threaded between two grain storage buildings. With arms pumping and knees raising and falling, he raced towards the trail leading to his home and safety. The buildings grew closer, and his escape seemed assured. For the last year, three older boys had terrorized him and the younger students in his small class. The bullying began with pushing and verbal harassment, but recently, the levels of aggression had sunk to a new low. Physical punishment and petty theft were now part of their itinerary of pain and suffering. Unfortunately for Alerio, he became a primary target when the older boys discovered his father had been an optio in the Legion. Each of the three boys' fathers had served short stints in the Republic's army. Their fathers carried resentment for NCOs when they were discharged. They passed on the negative emotions to their boys. He reached the alley between the grain buildings with a vision of open fields in sight. Relief washed over Alerio as he slowed. Suddenly, his attempted escape was abruptly cut off.
"Going somewhere, Cicera?"
one of the boys asked as the three stepped into his path. One circled around behind Alerio. The one who had spoken shoved his face in close, as if to dare the younger boy to take a swing. The third boy moved close to Alario's side.
"What? No time to say hello?"
he whispered in Alario's ear.
"Got to get home to your stolen land and that pretty mother of yours."
Alario's hands clinched into fists. His face reddened at the mention of his mother, and he started to punch the boy. But the boy on his side had placed a foot between his legs, and when the boy behind him pushed, Alerio found himself face first on the ground. A kick to his ribs rolled him over, and he lay looking up at the three sneering faces.
"What do you have for us today?"
one asked as he reached down and plucked the pouch from Alario's belt.
"Your payment for stealing our best land,"
he explained as he spilled the content of the pouch into his hand. He distributed the 5 copper coins to his companions. The iron spinning top he kept for himself. A dried root shaped like a dragon was tossed to the ground beside Alerio. As the young boy watched, a heel pulverized the dragon into shredded mulch.
"Do better tomorrow. I'd like a new knife,"
another of the boys said as he bent down. He ended the instructions with a hard punch to the center of his victim's chest. It was then Alerio cried out in frustration. The physical pain was temporary, while the mental anguish burned deeply into his mind. Plus, he knew tomorrow would bring more abuse from the older boys. Chapter 2. The Cicera's Farm. He left the small village behind and raced down the path towards his home. The trees surrounding the small villa came into view, and the dread faded. faded until he entered the kitchen and met his mother. In a panic, she asked,
"What happened to your face?"
A cloth was dipped in a bowl of water and applied to his cheek. It came away stained with dirt and blood. His mother studied the bruise.
"Was it those boys again?"
she asked as she dabbed at his cheek. Then she added,
"I'll have your father speak to their fathers."
No, I fell,"
he lied. The thought of his father being involved in the dispute was unbearable. Alerio imagined it would make the assaults worse, and he'd rather face the boys alone than have his father interfere. Over the last year, his father had tried to teach him self-defense, but his tendons were too immature to apply wrestling holds, his arms too thin and undersized for boxing, so after those attempts, his father gave up on teaching him to fight. The afternoon was filled with chores, and Alerio had already put the fight behind him. At dinner, he avoided the eyes of his parents and his two older sisters. They ate, and his father talked about planting and the need to rotate fields. Alerio had stopped listening when his sisters interrupted to comment on the scrapes and scabs on his face. His father didn't comment. He simply looked long and hard at the injuries. For the remainder of the meal, Alerio feared that his father would become involved. After dinner, retired Optio Sisera motioned for Alerio to follow. He guided the boy through the courtyard, around the grain separation racks, and into a storage shed. Three walls of the shed held farming tools. On the fourth hung weapons. Large, heavy infantry shields and smaller shields used by skirmishers occupied the center and lower part of the wall. Shelves above and beside the shields were filled with javelins, bows, and swords. The senior Sisera reached under the shields and moved a barrel filled with arrows. From the recess, he pulled out a wooden sword. He swung it effortlessly a few times before carrying it outside. Alerio followed. They walked around to the rear of the shed, and Alerio's chest swelled with pride at the farm. What once had been a rocky, barren track was now a field of grain. Stalks swayed in the evening breeze and appeared golden in the light of the setting sun. Between the rock wall at the edge of the field and the shed, a tree trunk had been planted. It stood taller than the boy and was twice his thickness. Stripped of its bark, the post appeared to glow golden in the fading light. Alerio watched as the retired Optio laid the wooden sword against the shed, struck flint, and lit a lantern. He hung the lantern from the roof's overhang before picking up the sword.
"This is a recruit training, Gladius," his father stated as he walked to the tree trunk gripping the sword in one hand. "You strike the post from the side twice, before swinging the sword to the opposite side and striking it backhandedly. Twice and once, then repeat." He demonstrated the two slashes and one backhanded strike before handing the sword to Alerio. The tip of the wooden sword drooped towards the ground. Alerio had played with his father's gladius when he was younger. It had taken two hands to hold the short sword, yet he had been able to lift it. The wooden sword was almost twice the weight of the metal weapon. "It's heavy, so when you transition to a real gladius, you'll be stronger and better able to handle the drills," his father explained. "Practice until you get tired, then come in and clean up."
His father disappeared around the shed, and Alerio concentrated on lifting the sword tip from the dirt. He managed three repetitions before his right arm gave out. In frustration, he switched to his left hand and managed only two repetitions. With the sword back in his right hand, he struck twice, but as he shifted the gladius to the opposite side of the post for the backhand strike, the wooden sword slipped from his hand. It landed in the dirt. Chapter 3. The Sisera's Villa. In the weeks that followed, Alerio managed to evade the older boys. When they did catch him, he noticed their punches weren't as devastating. Compared to the burning and soreness from the sword practice, their attempts seemed weak. One day he returned home to find his father entertaining company. Two big men sat on the patio talking with the former sergeant. They were laughing, and each held a clay mug of vino.
"Alario, come here," his father said, calling him over.
Dropping an arm over his shoulders, he stated proudly to the men,
"This is my boy, Alario. This is Centurion Ephraim and Optio Aegidius. We served together in the Legion."
Alario was taken by surprise. His father wasn't expressive with his emotions. He worked hard, treated his family and slaves fairly, but he was stingy with his praise.
"I can see much of you in him," Centurion Ephraim observed. "Back when you were a scrawny, raw recruit who didn't know the difference between a shovel and a gladius."
"I know the difference, sir," Alario boasted.
"Oh, you do you?"
Centurion Ephraim asked. He stood, pulled his sword, and spoke to the other man.
"Optio Aegidius, give the boy your gladius."
The Optio slid his weapon free and handed it to Alario hilt first. Compared to the heavy wooden sword, it seemed light.
"Let's see what you know,"
the centurion demanded, holding out his weapon. Alario wasn't sure what to do. He swung twice at the other man's blade, before swinging to the other side and backhanding the opposite side. Ephraim's sword rocked from the blows.
"Impressive," the man said. "Now strike harder, and I'll provide resistance."
This time, Alario's gladius didn't rock his opponent's blade. It was as if he were striking the unmoving post. On the backhand move, the centurion's blade struck back. Alario's sword stopped cold, jarring him from hand to shoulder. His fingers went numb, and the tip of the sword touched the ground. Even in that state, he didn't drop the weapon.
"That wasn't fair to the lad, Centurion,"
Optio Aegidius scolded.
"Better he learn defeat now than think himself an expert and die from ignorance," the infantry officer said. "Had enough, boy."
Retired Sergeant Sisera hadn't said a word during the drill. He did have an odd look on his face.
"No, sir,"
Alario replied, as he switched the gladius to his left hand. He brought the blade up to guard position and waited. Centurion Ephraim smiled and glanced over at the former Optio.
"Sisera, did you teach him to be ambidextrous?"
"Not me, Centurion," Alario's father replied. "I was never that good a swordsman."
"All right, young Alario,"
Ephraim said, bringing his blade up to touch blades with the boy.
"Begin."
This time, Alario was ready for the counter-strike. While it stung, it wasn't disabling, and he managed to fend off the centurion for a flurry before the older man's strength won the drill.
"Optio, if it's all right with you," Centurion Ephraim offered, "I'd like to train the boy while we're here. He has promise."
Alario hadn't thought about being ambidextrous. He'd been switching hands because he could only swing at the post with the training sword for so long with one hand. In order to prolong the training, he had switched from right to left and left to right. Centurion Ephraim and Optio Aegidius were on fall furlough from the Western Legion. Both men grew up in the capital, and neither wanted to go from the orderly life of a legionary to the chaos of a city. So they'd accepted former Optio Sisera's offer of home-cooked meals, wine, conversation, and a soft bed in exchange for working the harvest. They'd leave well-fed with a few Republic gold coins in their pouches before returning to their duty post. During the 4 weeks before harvesting began, Centurion Ephraim drilled and taught Alario. By the time the sickles, shovels, and baskets were distributed, Alario knew all of the legionary drills. While not proficient at them all, he knew enough to practice each drill daily. Chapter 4. The Harvest. 2 years ago, for the harvest, Alario had been assigned to the separating screens. Along with others, he scooped up handfuls of stalks and thrashed them until all the grain fell from the husks. He hadn't been that helpful, but he tried. Last year, he graduated to shovel duty. As the seeds filled the space under the screens, he and others shoveled the grain from under the thrashing racks and into bags. He got more on the ground than in the bags, but he didn't get in anybody's way. He was standing along with all the able-bodied personnel on the farm, waiting for his father to hand out assignments. Alerio eyed the thrashing racks and screens, shovels and bags. If given a choice, he'd rather not be there. Because of the collective nature of thrashing, the people assigned to the racks made small talk and bad jokes from sunup to sundown. His other option was on the collecting crew. They followed the harvesters, picking up armloads of hacked down stalks and placing them in the wagons. When a wagon was full, a handler guided the mule to the thrashing area. The work was hard on the back muscles, but the collectors rotated walking the mules and wagons to the racks. They'd get a little rest while the wagon was unloaded. Alerio figured he could do the work, but it was up to his father. So he waited. A big hand landed on his shoulder. He turned around to see who owned it.
"You ready, little man?"
Sergeant Egidius asked.
"Ready for what, Optio?"
Alerio replied. Egidius placed a sickle in the boy's hand.
"You're with me on harvesting duty,"
the Legion NCO advised him.
"I explained to your father that I needed someone who could keep up with me. He asked me who, and I said you. Are you ready?"
The harvesters were the first line attackers. They operated out front, cutting stalks as fast as the slowest cutter allowed. Cut too fast and your work went to waste, as your stalks lay on the ground absorbing moisture. Cut too slow, and you held up the entire operation as the advancing line waited for you to catch up.
"Cut low and keep up," Egidius advised. "But most of all, remember, when hard work has to be done, do it with good humor and a song. Defending a shield wall, breaching a barbarian horde, digging a ditch or harvesting grain, it's all the same. Hard work."
"Yes, Optio,"
Alerio replied. Chapter 5 The Grain Field. The next morning, a line of tall men and one boy stood at the edge of the field. As the sun broke over the horizon, a whistle sounded, sickles swung, and tall stalks of grain fell to the ground. The harvest had begun. Alerio's hand was sweating, and his right arm cramped. He switched the sickle to his left hand and kept chopping at the stalks. While not thick, the grain plants were plentiful, and each cut dropped a bunch. At one point he staggered from exhaustion, but Egidius reached out and steadied him.
"This is hard work, lad," the sergeant advised him. "What do we do?"
"Thank the goddess Ceres for the opportunity to sweat in her name," Alerio replied.
"I think she'll take that offering," Egidius said.
Then he began to chant.
"Up each day to the rising sun, work all day till the work is done. Sound off, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Sickle in hand and a field ahead, going to chop all day till I'm dead. Sound off, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm a mighty man and can't be beat. Mounds of stalks laying around my feet. Sound off, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
On the second round of the chant, Alerio added his voice. By the fourth rendition, men on the line were chanting along with the Optio. When the sun reached overhead, food was delivered. They walked off the line and collected thick sandwiches.
"Hard work,"
Optio Egidius stated.
"Time for jokes and singing," Alerio replied.
His face was covered in pollen and dirt. Sweat had long ago dried them in a pattern of streaks. Yet the most pronounced feature was the smile on his young face. Former Optio Sisera arrived and began walking the cut. From time to time, he stopped and called a cutter over. After pointing out stalks chopped off too high, he moved over to inspect another row. High cuts were a waste, as the stalks, after thrashing, were used as animal feed. A stalk cut too high meant less feed per row. Sisera barely looked in Alario's direction.
"Is something wrong?"
the boy asked Egidius.
"Father didn't come over."
"Right now he's not your father,"
the sergeant advised him.
"He's in command of the harvest. I've seen him like that before, strolling around in the midst of a savage horde, calmly directing his legionaries. The last time I saw him, he was bleeding and fighting off a bunch of barbarians. Between strikes, he issued corrections to reform the battle line."
"So, him ignoring me is a good thing?"
Alario asked.
"Sure. If he'd come over, it would be to yell at us about high cuts,"
Egidius assured him.
"When Optio Sisera is working, it's best not to draw his attention."
Alario had seen the medals, the letters of commendation, and the weapons stash, but he'd never really thought about his father fighting in a battle. He didn't have long to ponder the thought. Egidius lightly tapped him with a fist.
"We're wasting a perfectly good day,"
the Optio said as he pulled Alario to his feet.
"That grain isn't going to harvest itself."
"Up each day to the rising sun, work all day till the work is done. Sound off, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Alario chanted as he marched to the edge of the tall grain stalks. Egidius cringed and added his voice. He sang louder, as much to mask the lad's rough singing as to motivate the other cutters. Chapter 6 The Great Room. 3 weeks later, former Optio Sisera and Centurion Ephraim were huddled around a table. While Sisera had run the harvest operation, Ephraim had been in charge of accounting with the village's grain commission.
"You mean to tell me we produced more grain and feedstock than the bigger farms?"
Sisera questioned.
"That's correct, Optio," the centurion assured him. "I checked their books. It seems your homestead is tops when it comes to cashing in. I overheard a number of farmers complaining about your choice location."
"Choice location?"
Alario's father spit out the words.
"Haven't they noticed the stone walls around my property? Where do they think they came from? The sky? No, my son, my staff, and I dug the rocks out one by one."
"Easy there, Sisera," the centurion said, attempting to calm the farmer. "They don't have the experience with farming that you do."
"You mean like having fish shipped in? Grinding them up with manure and spreading it over the fields?"
Sisera replied.
"Or rotating the crops to rest the soil in sections?" "Yes, how did you learn that?"
Sergeant Egidius asked from across the room. Alario and the Optio had been discussing fighting tactics. They'd barely paid any attention to the conversation until Sisera raised his voice. It didn't seem as if the retired Optio would answer, so Egidius asked again.
"How did you learn about fish and crop rotation? The boy should know." "During the Western campaign, there was a big battle," Sisera said.
His eyes looked at something beyond the walls of the room, and his voice dropped as if the memory was hard to relate.
"The battlefield had been a collection of farms. From the stunted crops, I could see the soil was poorer than the farmers working it. We met the barbarians in those fields. We stomped the crops and watered the soil with the blood and bones of legionaries and savages. Then we retired to our winter quarters."
"How did that teach you about farming?"
Alario asked his father.
"In the spring, we marched by the fields, but no farmers remained to plant them,"
Sisera reported.
"But grass grew. Thick and tall, almost as if it had been planted by farmers. The next year, a group of families moved in and planted crops. The crops, where the soil had been so poor, the farmers were starving, filled sacks with grain only 2 years later. Bone, blood, and rest were the difference.
Your father thought and talked about that all winter,
Optio Aegidius said.
We were ready to bury him in those fields by spring.
Good thing you didn't, the centurion remarked. It was that summer when the steady Optio Sisera saved our lives.
What? My father saved your lives?
Alerio asked excitedly.
How? Where?
When you're older, his father assured him. Now it's time for you to turn in.
Alerio, I understand you've had some trouble with three boys in the village,
Centurion Ephraim said, catching the boy before he left.
If you do tomorrow, look on the top of the fourth board on the right grain storage building. I left you something.
Chapter 7 The Cooperative Village. The time off from classes for the harvest hadn't changed Alerio's physique. He was still tall and thin with a gangly gait and prone to tripping over his own feet. If anything, the hours of work with the sword and the sickle gave him the appearance of being underweight. His appearance didn't disturb the three boys waiting for him at the grain storage building. One blocked the alley, while the other two spread out so he couldn't escape by going around the structures.
Your father cheated, and it's going to cost the other farmers,
one sneered.
What have you brought me?
Alerio looked from one boy to the other, then at the base of the right storage building. He counted up four boards. As he thought about what the centurion had placed there, one of the boys closed in on him. The first lesson from the centurion had been about footwork. It's hard to grab or hit a moving target. A soft scraping sound behind him identified one of the boys sneaking up. Alerio waited for the shove that would send him tumbling forward or backward to the ground. When the boy in front reached out, Alerio slapped his hands away, danced to the side, and yanked at the boy's arm. Caught by surprise, the boy tumbled forward. The two boys ended up grabbing each other.
That's sweet, Alerio teased. Harvest season is the time for love.
While the two boys attempted to untangle their limbs, the third boy ran at him. In the past, Alerio would have panicked and froze in place, making an easy target. This time he reached out, grabbed an outstretched arm, and pulled while stepping swiftly to the side. The boy's momentum propelled him into the other two. The three fell to the ground. Alerio ran down the alley to the safety of the school building. In the afternoon, he didn't see the boys on his way home. He was at the villa before he remembered the present hidden on the storage building.
Chapter 8 The Bully's Turn. After dinner, while his father and his friends sat talking, Alerio went behind the shed and beat on the post. Between strikes, he danced patterns. For the first time, he understood the purpose of movement in a fight. And he understood the purpose of keeping level-headed and singing. With a steady rhythm, his practice became more intense and more focused. In the morning, he dressed and jogged to the storage building. Waiting for him were the three boys and a man.
You there, fish farmer,
the man yelled. Then he turned to one of the boys and inquired.
Is this the one who attacked you?
The boy nodded shyly and replied,
Yes, Dad. We were just hanging out when he came up and demanded our money.
What have you got to say for yourself? The man demanded. You owe my boy 5 coppers.
Alerio was stunned. For a year, the boys had beaten and robbed him. Now they were accusing him of being a thief. It was all he could do in the face of the absurd accusation. He laughed. The man took a step forward while asking,
Are you laughing at me? I'll give you something to laugh at.
His hand clamped down on Alerio's shoulder and his fingers dug painfully into the muscles. Alerio bent his knees, attempting to retreat down and away from the pressure. The hand followed, maintaining the painful clamp for a few seconds. Suddenly, the pain ended, and the farmer lay sprawled on the ground about 5 feet away.
Standing over him was Sergeant
Sample complete. Ready to continue?